through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Three receivers, Fitzgerald, that is, and Kirk go to the far side. Empty backfield. Murray takes the snap. Looks, gets hit, goes down. Seahawks sack. Murray getting there was Dunlap. Came off the edge, almost untouched. Huge play by the Seahawks defense. And the Hawks are going to win this game at Lumen Field. And it's going to come on a great defensive play with 34 seconds left.
That's why you make that trade, Jake. How about that defensive effort from Seattle? By the way, Seahawks undefeated at Lumen Field. Let's go with the most important win of the season so far over the Arizona Cardinals. Man, Jake, that was what an effort by the defense, first of all, that none of us were expecting. You, Jake Heaps, Curtis Rogers, or me. And what a game overall by Seattle.
Well, what are you talking about? I mean, I predicted Kyler Murray be held to 15 yards. We all knew that they were going to get held to 57 yards on the ground. I mean, I don't know anybody that wouldn't predict that.
No, not at all. I mean, I certainly was thinking that would obviously be the case. I in no way shamed a texter that texted in saying that Kyler Murray would be held to under 30 yards. I don't remember ever saying that that was ridiculous. I was right on board with them the entire time. So Curtis knows.
Of course. The other thing is, it's unfortunate that Steve Rabel didn't have the play-by-play of my reaction to that play, to the finish to Carlos Dunlap, because I was going bananas. And as Bodie knows, my one-year-old, in those moments, you just got to let dad freak out, have some, just enjoy the moment. And he was just sitting there patiently with his hand up at 1 year old, waiting for his high five.
Aww.
But man, was that a special moment right there to see Carlos Dunlap, a three-man rush, Stacy. Not a four-man rush, not a five, not six, not bringing the house. A three-man rush, and that's why you traded for that guy right there, to bring that type of impact and to be able to win that one-on-one matchup and to be able to sack the elusive Kyler Murray, really, at his 6'6", long, freakishly long-arm frame, just being able to wrap him up and take him down. Oh, man, that was one heck of a finish.
It was a smart play, too. Props to Ken Norton Jr. and Pete Carroll for this defense. It wasn't just on the players, and we haven't really been able to say this so far yet this year, but that was a smart play. Drop three guys in, drop someone back. They send the Cardinals send four receivers right there at the first, behind the first yard line first down line to try to get the play, and you get to Kyler Murray. Apparently Carlos Dunlap called ball game. It was a great moment. It's not just a great moment for what we saw, but because of what we saw and what it told us about the Seattle Seahawks. Frankly, this game changed what both of us, Jake, think about the Seahawks' ceiling, and that's based on what we saw last night. So what did we see? Jake, I'll start with you.
Well, 7-3. They're atop the NFC West right now, as it currently stands. I mean, I couldn't be more fired up, Stacey. I barely slept last night. I was so excited. I could not contain myself. I had a really hard time. But what it proved to me, and I said this earlier in the week, is that this game against the Arizona Cardinals could be the turning point for the Seahawks. Now, I think they proved to themselves and the national audience that they have the makings of being a legit contender. Now, notice I didn't say they are a legit contender. They have to show more consistency. But I agree with Pete Carroll when he said postgame that he feels like they're just getting started, and particularly on defense. And you could build around a performance like you saw last night. Offensively, you're balanced, you're physical. Russell Wilson's playing turnover-free, had a really good game. Carlos Hyde running the ball very effectively. The defense finally started playing together. And I think that they set themselves up for a really hot stretch here to finish the season strong, Stacey. The combined record of their opponents over the next 4 weeks is 9-28-1.
Is that bad?
It's not saying you take it, it's real bad. And it's not saying you take anything for granted, but this should be an opportunity for them to continue to grow and build upon a performance like they did last night. And I think that that's one of the things that it proved to me last night, Stacey, was that this is the turning point for the Seahawks. Not from hey, this was a shocking performance, but you saw legitimate things defensively, the communication, the playing together, you saw the physicality. Just overall, there was a collective cohesiveness that you feel like isn't just a one-trick pony, it isn't just a one-game wonder, that it's something that they can truly build upon.
And speaking of what we saw on defense, what I saw was that Carlos Dunlap is a difference maker. You talk about seeing things that are difference makers, seeing things that have lasting impact. Carlos Dunlap, that trade so far for Seattle is looking stellar. I know that he had the last sack of the game that iced the game and that he called ball game, and that's all really fun. And we love the highlight, which we played at the top of our show. But he had another sack in that game and made several plays. He finished with 2 sacks, 4 combined tackles, and 3 quarterback hits. I mean, he was in there. It's a piece that was missing last time these two teams met. And I know that there were other mistakes. If Russell Wilson doesn't throw 3 picks, maybe they win that first game. And it was a great effort for Seattle through most of the contest, right until it got forced into overtime. So it's not like it was a horrible performance by Seattle last time. It just didn't work out. Seeing the differences with other personnel in there, whether it's Jamal Adams, whether, you know, it's Carlos Dunlap, for me, that was the difference, and I feel good about this team. And when we talk about where their ceiling is, the ceiling is now even higher, knowing the kind of player Carlos Dunlap can be. I now have no doubt he can absolutely help you moving forward.
Yeah, with the way the physicality in which Carlos Dunlap plays, Stacey, it's not just as a pass rusher. He makes a difference in the running game as well. He helps you out in both phases. And when you talk about Carlos Dunlap's effect, let's hear it here in cut number 4, Pete Carroll just talking to that very same point.
He's been a boost. You know, we've had a lot of sacks in the last 3-4 weeks now, and that's changing things. I don't know what we had tonight, but it was enough to make a factor, you know, in the pass rush. He really helps us, and we desperately needed him. You know, for the first week, you barely knew what was going on. Week 2, he's getting it going. He really is comfortable now. It fits right in, and it was really thrilling to see him come up with a game winner like that.
And you want to know what his effect has been? Yeah, he's had 3.5 sacks in his first 3 games here as a Seahawk. He's had even more tackle for losses and quarterback hurries. But he's also made everybody else around him better. Jaron Reed, since Dunlap has come back, he now has 3 sacks in 3 games. It makes your overall pass rush that much better, and they were able to affect and pressure Kyler Murray in a way that did frustrate him from time to time. I thought that Kyler Murray overall had a pretty decent night, but he was forced into making some bad decisions. The grounding call, Jamal Adams getting pressure on him, and he makes a bad decision with his grounding call. He missed a couple throws due to him being pressured, and those are the things that you're looking for when you add a player like Carlos Dunlap. Stacey, he's not Aaron Donald, he's not Khalil Mack, he's not Myles Garrett, he's not going to be that unbelievably dominating pass rusher, but he's a Pro Bowl level talent that when given the opportunity, like the last play of the game that we played at the top, he can absolutely win his one-on-one battle and get to the quarterback.
And you've got your starting corner, Shaquille Griffin, presumably coming back next week. It sounds like he's on track. Chris Carson coming back. So you're getting your pass rush is stabilizing, and you're getting a starting cornerback in addition to getting your running back on offense. So you are set for this nice stretch of games against the NFC East. Jake, I was reading your email right before the show. You said you couldn't sleep. You're so excited. I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of Seahawks fans are right in there with you. It's not just the win that has you pumped. It's knowing what's coming down the road. Games against opponents that are struggling, a chance to get your confidence right, add to that win column, and a chance to get guys healthier. Another thing I saw that is really encouraging and makes me feel better about this team moving forward against these teams: the defense adjusted, right? We talked on yesterday, actually. Gosh, it's a Thursday night game. We talked yesterday before the game about the things that we saw in their Week 7 contest against the Cardinals that was a loss, and what we wanted to see them adjust. And 2 of those 3 were on defense. And that was for good reason. We wanted to see them get pressure on Kyler Murray. And then we wanted to see them, in general, adjust some of the things that people were critiquing them for. Hey, you've got too much cushion between these receivers. Hey, you're not, you know, getting enough pressure on Murray. Hey, you're blitzing in the wrong moments, and sometimes you're blitzing and you're giving up too much, and you aren't changing plays, and they're responding with screens. It was just a mess. It felt like it was frustrating for Seahawks fans, and I know you guys all agree because you were watching and you felt like you were seeing the same mistake over and over and over. And the most encouraging thing that I saw last night was it was clear that they watched that game, and Ken Norton Jr. and Pete Carroll and the rest of this defense, presumably led by those defensive leaders, made adjustments. And, Jake, they did it against a good offense.
Right. They did do it against a good offense. And you know, there's a couple things to this that really stands out. You talk about some of those adjustments. They were better in the screen game when they brought pressure. They were significantly better in the running game, right? Handling Kyler Murray, Kenyon Drake, 57 yards on the ground. This group was the number one rushing attack coming into this week, Stacey. Kyler Murray was running all over everybody. He has 10 rushing touchdowns in this year, and they were able to keep him contained. That's a great job, being disciplined. And one of my favorite plays of the game was KJ Wright on third and short, being able to keep contain on Kyler Murray in the middle of the field, heading into the end of the half. He keeps outside contain, forces him back inside for a big play. That was huge.
Hand
huge
off
moment
inside.
In that game.
No. Keeper by Murray, and he's going to go down back at the 45-yard line. KJ Wright playing it like the Pro Bowler he is, keeping Murray inside. It was a read keep. The keep went to Murray, and he gets tackled by KJ Wright.
And that part was huge. The other thing, Stacey, that you talked about, them looking like they could play together. One of the interesting things that Pete Carroll said in the Danny and Gallant interview this morning was there was some accountability. Finally, there was some accountability between the coaches and the players. And Ken Norton Jr. held a meeting on Wednesday night, the day before the game, and talked through every single coverage with their players and made every single guy stand up and say exactly what his job was. Now, let me tell you, as a player, being in those moments, if you don't know what your job is, you're going to get exposed. You can't fake your way out of that. And every single guy, as Pete Carroll described, stood up, said exactly what their job was, what their keys, what their reads were, what they were going to do, how they were going to react. And that was a huge confidence-building moment. And here in cut number 13, Bobby Wagner talked about post-game, how this performance can carry over. And what he said, I think, was pretty significant.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like, it's a confidence boost for everybody, but especially the new guys that just got here, the younger guys that haven't been a part of some of the games that we've had in the past and, you know, haven't had their own moments. And so I think it's a really good confidence builder for to be in that position, game on the line. We have to get a stop. We get the stop. I definitely feel like that builds confidence with your defense.
Stacey, I hadn't thought about that before. Now, we talked about it in terms of big plays, like in early in the year where they came up with the goal line stand and how that could be a confidence building moment. And, you know, there were certainly big plays that were made earlier in the year. But they have yet to put an entire game together from the beginning of the game all the way to the end. And those are moments, even for a guy like Jamal Adams, right, who's Bobby's referring to, a new guy. Some of the younger guys that had to step in, some of the younger guys who had to come in due to injury, they have yet to play a complete performance top to bottom and feel connected to one another. That can carry over, and that's a huge moment for them as they're looking forward. And I think that's why one of the things that they proved to me last night, Stacey, is the idea that this isn't just a one-game wonder, that this is something that they can truly build upon and become a legit contender as they grow together.
Absolutely agree. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Jake Heap, Stacey Ross here with you right now. Let's get to three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
That's the dumbest question you could ask.
What? Before we get to question one, shout out to Nick in Yakima.
I knew
for his
you'd do this.
Kyler Murray prediction.
Wait a minute. I was going to play the sound of this. Since Bobby Wagner's talking about being held accountable, I was going to hold myself accountable.
The sound of you just roasting.
Why don't
Nick?
We save that? Let's get to this very quickly at 45 because I owe Nick an apology.
Yeah. Shout out to Nick.
Shout out to Nick. I'm sorry.
Question number one. Did Thursday night signal the end of the Let Russ Cook movement?
It was fun to watch this running game get going, but no, it did not end the Let Russ Cook movement. I'm going to tell you why. It's what your perception is of the Let Russ Cook movement. So last night could be the signal that it ended. I don't think it did. I think what they did was they allowed Russell Wilson to have all of the tools available to him. And when you bring back Hyde, you bring back Carson, what they allowed Russ to have at the line of scrimmage was all options available. Okay, we can audible into pass plays. You can get something out of your passing game. Or if you get the right looks at the line of scrimmage, you can audible into the run game. And I thought that Russ managed the game extremely well in terms of getting your guys into the right place, whether it needed to be a pass, whether it needed to be a run. And Carlos Hyde and the rest of the group took it from there. Carlos Hyde's downhill running, physical style of running was fun to watch, and it allows them to be more balanced. But a lot of those plays that you saw, big plays that were runs, they were checked into. And so I think that that's the exciting part, is letting Russ cook is part of letting him manage the game at the line of scrimmage. And when you have a legit back there, you can get to some of those explosive runs. So overall, I thought it was tremendous.
You know, also, it looked very much like Russell Wilson was at times looking for that deep throw. And there was at least one coverage sack. You had a 43-yarder to DK Metcalf that was brought back. And I know that we'll talk to Mike Salk about this. And I know that the explosive play is part of that. But I think that there were moments where Russell Wilson had the option. And there just wasn't anyone there. And the Cardinals were especially earlier on, like, pretty good in coverage. So I think that was a thing there. But I agree. I think what I wanted to see is them scoring early and you know, passing on first downs and just kind of adapting the way that they were playing. It's not just, oh, I want to see more running or less passing. It's I want them to pass at the right times. And I felt like for the most part they did. So I was happy about it. I don't think it's over.
Number two.
Six quarterback hits, 3.5 sacks in just 3 games for Carlos Dunlap. Have you seen enough to want his option picked up for next season?
This is still TBD for me. For Carlos Dunlap, I personally don't think they're going to pick up his option. I personally think that they'll probably award him with his bonus 5 days after the season and then cut him wanting to rework his deal. That's personally what I think would probably happen in that scenario. But so far, what we've seen from Carlos Dunlap, yeah, I would love to see that, because, you know, this is why I was such a proponent of this trade. This is why I was so excited and was trying to tell everybody that I think this is going to be a great trade for the Seattle Seahawks and for John Schneider and Pete Carroll, because Carlos Dunlap did not look like this year, earlier in the year, that he was a player that just lost his talent, lost his juice. He looked like a disgruntled player in a scheme and in a system that didn't fit him anymore. And seeing him come into this building reinvigorated, excited about being a part of, you know, what the Seahawks are doing, and actually getting used to what he does best, you're seeing him come out and play in a big way. And this is a guy who, career-wise, every single year has been a consistent football player. He has not been an ebb and flow guy where 1 year he'll have a peak of sacks and then he'll drop off the next year. He has consistently been a 7.5, 8, 9 sack guy every single year of his career. And I fully expect him to get to that mark by the end of the year.
My immediate reaction, Jake and Curtis, was no, based only on his age. Like, my immediate reaction was, you got to be really fast, strong, and it, you know, when you're in your early 30s, that starts to become a question.
You know.
Anyways, but I think what I... Look, Russell Wilson's older than me, okay? As long as I have that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Stop. What? But then I thought, well, wait a minute. We don't know what Daryl Taylor's going to look like. I don't know that we've seen a full great season from Rasheem Green. We don't know, you know, Alton Robinson's still a young guy and is playing at, you know, kind of the other DN spot more often than not. And you also don't have 2 first round picks, which is where you get like a premier pass rusher. So I don't know, maybe it makes it a little bit more tempting for them to stretch one more year out with him until they can, you know, get a little more flexibility, whether it be with their salary cap or draft picks to get a young guy in there. Unless the only exception being if Daryl Taylor or Alton Robinson or Rasheem Green or maybe even Benson Mayowa just starts to blow you away. But until they have a guy where they think this is the future, I think they might keep him around.
They, They have to keep him around. I just don't know if they do it on the current deal that is set. He absolutely should be brought back. Just it depends on what the numbers look like based off of the way he finishes.
Number three.
Third down, Greg Olsen, question three. Greg Olsen may very well be done for the season. Pete, in his press conference about an hour ago, said could be about 4 to 6 weeks before we see Olsen again. What does his loss mean for Seattle's offense going forward?
You know, this is an interesting one because I've had a lot of people ask me about Greg Olsen. Why isn't he more involved in the offense? You paid him $7 million. You know, it really was the idea of Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf just really playing really unbelievable football. But Greg's been good for you this season, and he hasn't had the receptions and the yardage to really show everybody. But in terms of watching him on film, he has been a factor in terms of drawing coverage and drawing eyes. And he, last night, was great in some of those pressure moments of seeing the zone, feeling the zone out, and Russell being able to have confidence and trust to get to him. It's a bummer to lose Greg Olsen, but you're fortunate to have good depth behind him with Will Dissly and Jacob Hollister. They'll be able to manage.
If you missed the show, don't forget, you can listen to it via the 710 Sports app, powered by the Dubin Law Group. So what you heard earlier was Curtis Rogers, C-Rog, at A Kid from Kent, saying that someone tweeted at you, correct? Nick and Yakima, calling us out about something that me, got very wrong yesterday. I will gladly take the fall for this. That'll be at 45. I will own it. I will own up to it. But first, we're going to talk to Mike Salk. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Mike Salk joining us now, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, you were waiting for a more balanced offense. You got one. Is this what you want to see for the rest of the year, or do you want to see more cooking from Russell?
I'm so happy.
I know, it annoys me. That's why I'm bringing this to you.
What a great football game the Seahawks played last night. Pete Carroll got his wish. His team played like a Pete Carroll football team, really, for the first time all year, and may have saved their season in doing so. I got a bunch of MVPs. Obviously, Carlos Dunlap's on the list. I thought, you know, Damian Lewis deserved an enormous amount of credit for jumping in at center and playing a position he certainly hadn't played as a pro, but just jumped in there. And, yeah, he had a mistake or two, but I thought he gave them – you know, hope, but the MVP of this game is really probably Russell Wilson for playing a vintage Russell Wilson game, taking what was there, not forcing it, playing efficient, using all of his strengths, using his legs when he needed to, and not holding the ball too long and unless, you know, that something was developing, and then finding a way to run with his legs, accurate, efficient, safe. And then guess what magically transpired when all of those things happened? This much maligned defense that we have crushed for good reason all throughout the year played better. Were they perfect? No, they still have all kinds of problems. But were they better? Yes, they absolutely were. And I can't help but believe that there is some correlation and causation between those two things.
There could be, Salk. I'm not going to dismiss that completely. But I believe that when you look at this offense and the way that it was going, I said this, you know, earlier in the last segment, is you had Russell Wilson have all the tools available to him. You know, he's going to the construction site and he needs, you know, a hammer, a drill, he needs a screwdriver, and over the last couple weeks he's only had the hammer, and you got to get it done, and you have no excuses not to finish the project. It was awesome to see last night, even without Chris Carson, that he had all the tools. And now at the line of scrimmage, you're audibling, you're getting, you have a legitimate running threat that you can audible to. It was a lot of fun to watch that last night. And Salk, I have to ask you here, as what they did last night, you look at the way that the rest of the season sets up, was this the launching point? Was that game last night, what we witnessed, the key turning point for this group to start playing championship level football? Because they're not there yet, obviously, but was this the turning point for them?
All right, so let me first disagree with what you said, and then I will answer your question. First of all, I don't know that I entirely buy that Russell only had a hammer in the last few games. I mean, say what you want. I mean, the offensive line was dropping guys left and right in this one, and yet they continue to find ways to stay consistent with their running game. Bo Scarborough was out there running for half the game until he got hurt and looked just as good as Carlos Hyde did. I mean, you know, they didn't have Chris Carson, and yet with an aging Carlos Hyde who's been beat up, with Bo Scarborough and DJ Dallas, they were still able to present a balanced attack.
Yeah, but do you think that they would have done what they did with just Bo Scarborough out there? I don't think that they would have called that style of game.
Well,
with
not
just
after
Bo
he
Scarborough.
Did the splits and nearly tore his leg.
No way,
no,
not before that
not
either.
After
so.
That. I don't know. Carlos Hyde was fine in the game. He picked up what was there, but he didn't do anything spectacular. He was fine. I thought the offensive line was very much, and the game planning was very much more responsible for the success they had running than the return of Carlos Hyde, who's fine. I don't want to take shots at him, but he's not an exceptional running back at this stage in his career. Yes, he's better than Scarborough or Alex Collins or some of the other guys, but I don't know whether it's as significant a jump as we see with Chris Carson. And oh, by the way, they were missing half, you know, three-fifths of the starting offensive line by the end of the game, and yet they kept pounding the rock. Yes. And having success in doing so, because I think it was part of their mentality and game plan for the game. So I guess I disagree a little bit on some of the premise, but to answer your question, yes, absolutely. I think this could be a launching pad for more of a Super Bowl run. If this is the style that they're comfortable with, if this is Pete Carroll football and they can truly have this identity moving forward? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, so instantly they're a contender. They've got tons of talent around him. They've got a Hall of Fame head coach. Put all those things together, and if you can truly live up to your identity, stay healthy enough, yeah, absolutely they can be a Super Bowl contender, and this can be the launching pad for it.
Don't you think there were some moments, though, where you could have seen a very different game? And I don't mean that in a bad sense. I mean, there were opportunities to have Russell Wilson kind of take over the game that you had called back. You had what would have been a 43-yard completion to DK Metcalf that's called back on a ridiculous holding penalty. I mean, that could have been a score. There were moments there for Wilson. I don't think that this was just Pete Carroll taking it out of his hands. I think it was a more balanced approach because you gave Wilson another weapon. But I think
Stacey, hold on. The idea of a balanced approach doesn't mean that Russell shouldn't have big plays. Let's think about the Pete Carroll philosophy in its very specific form. It's balanced attack and big explosive plays.
Yes.
He wants Russell to go deep. That has always been part of the Pete Carroll attack. It's the idea of, yeah, a lot of handoffs, a lot of balance and short passes, and then the deep play action shots. Those have always been a part of it. The fact that that was called back, and I agree, a ridiculous holding call. The guy got run over. You can't penalize him for being a speed bump. That's not his fault. But I agree with you. That's a great play, but that's always been part of Pete Carroll's philosophy.
It has, but what hasn't been is them being aggressive in first halves, throwing on first downs, and that's what people have wanted to see more of, and I'm fine seeing more of that.
They did some of that in the game yesterday, but they also ran, and they ran on second and nine, and they found ways to run the ball throughout the game, even on early downs, in ways that we haven't seen the last few weeks. And oh, by the way, they were successful enough in moving the chains that they were able to run more plays and have more of an opportunity to do all of the things they do. I mean, Pete will always mention that. So, look, did they do a 180? No, of course not. Nor did I really want them to do a 180 and be completely different from what they'd been. But was there some subtle changes in the philosophy? It sure seemed that way, and it sure felt more like a Pete Carroll game than any we've seen in a while, right up to the fact that they scored 28 points by getting a safety, a missed field goal, extra point and two field goals. That's the most Pete Carroll thing ever.
Right, and I agree with you. And that is why, Salk, I said that Russ didn't have all the tools at his disposal in terms of the running game, because there were often moments in that game where it was a clear pass, they had the run look, and then you change to that run look, so you actually feel confident in getting to that, and they did not do that. They did not have that.
But
same
he should
approach.
Have done that last week, then, Jake. I'm sorry. If that's the case, if Russ had those same looks last week and didn't change to them because he didn't feel comfortable in his running back, Well, I don't agree with that. I think that's on Russell Wilson for not making the right call.
I don't think that there were. And I don't think that that was an emphasis by the coaching staff or by Russell himself. I think it was a collective thought process. So you look at what they wanted to do to get back to some of those things and the opportunity and the knowledge of what they had against Arizona. I think that they had a much better game plan of what they wanted to do and how they wanted to execute it. So I thought overall it was a better job. I want to flip over to the defense here real quick, Salk. It finally looked like this group was on the same page. Yesterday, I was kind of raging with you yesterday about wanting this defense to have some semblance of looking like they know what they're doing, working together. They did. They did that. And they got back to some of the basics. And, Pete Carroll earlier with Danny and Gallant talked about the fact that this defense, Ken Norton Jr. holding a meeting with the guys and making them go through every single one of their assignments in front of the whole group and kind of having this accountability moment, and each and every single guy knew it, and that was kind of a turning point for them. I'm surprised that they hadn't gotten to that sooner or earlier, but it was great to finally see them take that next step.
Yeah, I love it. It's like some Bill Belichick-style accountability, and I think it's probably what was needed. So great. The person who I thought benefited the most from whatever it is they did in the last few days is Quandre Diggs. I mean, he for the first time all year, I know he had a dumb penalty. I didn't even think they should have flagged it, quite frankly. I mean, I thought he laid kind of held up a little bit and didn't take the big hit when it was a possibility, but okay, fine. Other than that, I thought he had his best game, certainly all year. He has been a complete non-factor for the first part of this season until last night when he showed up. I mean, he was running sideline to sideline. He was able to make plays. He was able to come up with a big hit. I mean, that's the Quandre Diggs that we saw last year, who came in and really seemed to affect the team, when he was healthy. So, that seemed to have a trickle-down effect. I thought Snacks Harrison was active. Forced a holding penalty. I know he jumped off sides, but forced a holding penalty and looked good inside. And LJ Collier was a whole lot more active. And obviously what you're getting now from Carlos Dunlop. So, put all those things together and you can start to see some signs of progress and where this thing might go. I don't think they're going to be a great defense. I think they have too many issues, and certainly watching their play at cornerback is still a challenge. But they at least showed last night against not a bad offense. I mean, look, Kyler Murray is really talented. They got one of the better wide receiver combinations in the league as well. I thought they played pretty darn well. And whether it's Ken Norton who deserves the credit, Pete Carroll, the players, throw it at all of them, I thought they made the adjustments they needed to make. And I really hope that continues and should. They should now gain some confidence as they play some of the worst teams in football over the course of the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, they certainly keep their NFC West hopes alive. But just last quick one from us, Mike. Are they the best team in the NFC West?
Well, I think that the top three teams in the NFC West are all going to be pretty similar. And I think that, honestly, all three are Super Bowl contenders. Arizona maybe, I think, will fall off. I like Murray. I just don't fully trust him. And I don't really trust Kingsbury yet. But I think the Rams and the Seahawks are right there for the title of this division. And you're going to have to find a way to beat them. I mean, look, you should have beaten the Cardinals the first time. I think you were the better team overall, but found a way to lose that game. They were nothing close to being the better team against the Rams. And they're going to have to show that they can be much, much better when they play here. What is it? The second to last game of the season.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Pete Carroll had plenty to say with Danny and Gallant earlier. Plus, we've got your Blue Friday code word. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
As promised, it's time to announce this hour's Blue Friday code word. Head to 710sports.com/win. Don't text. 710sports.com/win. Go there and enter the code word Friday. That's as in Rebecca Black's great hit, Friday. By the end of this hour, to be entered to win a $100 Seahawks Pro Shop gift card. Remember, this code word expires at the end of the hour, and you'll have another chance to win after noon. Details and rules at 710sports.com/win. Now, we're going to take some listens to cuts from Pete Carroll. He was on with Danny and Gallant this morning for the Pete Carroll Show, which he does after every Seahawks game. But before we do that, Pete Carroll's all about accountability, and here on Jake and Stacey, we're all about accountability. That includes me. So, you know what? We had a special Bold Take Friday Thursday edition, Bold Take Thursday, and we had a brave texter send in a great prediction. This was the prediction in my reaction. The boldest one I've seen today, considering how Kyler Murray's been as a runner this year from the 206. I don't agree with you, but I like it. Kyler Murray will run for less than 30 yards.
Pretty bold.
That's reckless.
That's Eugene,
it's
by the
reckless.
Way.
Eugene. Okay. Eugene, respect. Thank you for listening. Thank you for texting
Very
in.
Very strong.
That is. Wow.
So, Stacey, is there something you'd like to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to say that I was right about there being another thing, and that is a fight. Here's the thing that I want to see. You guys
Wait,
you're going to think it's silly, but it's related to what Jake is saying. Hear me out, Jake. I want to see a Seahawks player start a fight. I want to see some jawing.
I always miss it.
You know what it is? It's not football fights. It's baseball fights. I am never at the game when a fight breaks out. And every single time there's been one, I was never there. I was never watching it. I was never there. And it's just every single time without fail. If I'm not watching a game, a fight will break out. It's like science.
We want it under control, Stacey. We want be edgy and don't do anything dirty by any stretch of the imagination.
No, do it.
But no, Stacey, no.
You're batting 500, Stacey.
Right? That's how I look at it. You miss one, you swing a home run on another.
Well, you did swing a home run on the other.
I'm sorry to the texter.
I do want to make a point here that when you said start a fight, the text line blew up. Stacey, what do you mean? We can't have a fight. These guys are going to get suspensions and fines and all that. But the point that you made, that you were trying to make, is that there needs to be some chippiness out mm-hmm. there. And boy, did DK Metcalf deliver that in a big, big way. You know, it just always finds a way to – he is a sneaky trash talker.
He is.
He finds a way to slip something in there. He did. There's no question that he walked by Kirkpatrick yep. and said something to him that got Kirkpatrick livid and made him lose his cool. But, you know, that's sometimes the smart trash talkers, is they know how to get under people's skin and end up, you know, making them get outside of themselves and make dumb decisions.
Yeah.
And DK definitely was poking the fire there. But you were right. They needed to start a fight.
Let's
and
go.
Guess what? That fight ended up leading to points. That was a huge turn of events.
Just like I planned. And you know what? The texter that I'm not, I don't want to say made fun of. I did not. I thought the texter was being reckless with this prediction, and then they were spot on. They reached out to Curtis Rogers at A Kid from Kent. And what did he say? Did he just send you the screenshot of it?
Just a screenshot.
Oh, man. And he had
the
receipt.
I promised him a shout out.
Who is it?
It's Nick out in Yakima.
Nick in Yakima. That was a great prediction. That really was.
Yeah.
If not one I saw coming, you might have been one of the only people thinking the Seahawks would hold Kyler Murray to basically nothing on the ground. I was not expecting it. Shout out to Nick. Great prediction. See, Bold Take Friday is legit, you guys. Sometimes those really
it
happen.
It is. They do happen, and sometimes you got to stretch yourself a little bit, and sometimes they come true. Sometimes it's a swing and a miss, but you keep swinging every single week, you know?
All right, and speaking of swinging, getting back into the swing of things, Pete Carroll on with Danny and Gallant. Really, really happy with this contest. Cut number one said it was a good, complete game.
I think it was really clear that we were able to return to the kind of style that we've grown familiar to over the years, and I thought the Carlos Hyde really illustrated it in his way of hitting the line of scrimmage and running the football. It just set everything in motion and made for a really well balanced night. Defense played really nice ball game.
It was a nice ball game, and that's where I highly disagree with Salk's conversation there in our last segment of, well, why didn't you do this before? Why didn't you have this kind of mentality before? Because Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson are completely different backs than what you've had than DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, Alex Collins, and even Bo Scarborough. Bo Scarborough filled in nicely. Alex Collins had a couple nice runs. These guys have all had their spots, but they are not every down, first, second down, legit starters in the NFL right now. No disrespect to them. That's just where they're at in their careers. Carlos Hyde showed you what it looks like when you have a legit starter at the running back position who brings physicality, who runs downhill, who sees lanes and gaps and hits it hard. And when you have guys like that, yes, you're willing to hand the ball off to them because you know they're going to make you right. You know they're going to make the right decision, and they're going to actually bring an element to the game. And that's what they've been missing over the last couple weeks with Hyde and Carson out, and it showed in a big way.
I absolutely agree. There are two other games I thought were a complete game from Seattle. It was the win over Miami and the win over the 49ers. With Miami, I think they're up and down. They have the potential to be great, and then sometimes they just stumble. They aren't a complete club yet. And they still allowed a pretty good game, all things considered, from Ryan Fitzpatrick. From the 49ers, that went over the 49ers, I thought it was a complete game, but it was such a banged up team that it was hard to look at it and feel good about it. You felt good in that it was a win and everyone had individual good performances, but you weren't sure if it would stick. This is the first complete game where I felt like this is good. You played a legit offense, a good defense, and you played well. And they have their weaknesses too, but you reestablished yourself as front and center in the NFC West and also as a team that can put on this kind of performance. Speaking of, Pete Carroll has felt like the defense could be making this turn for a while, week in and week out. We might have been doubting him, but in cut number two, he says they've been building toward this.
Seems like we took a big step forward this week. It started last week, but with some stuff got away from us. Still kept the points down somewhat last week, our guys really, they've been together enough now. You know, I've been saying it's going to take a while, because it just has felt like that. There's been too many loose ends that haven't been cleaned up, and the guys tightened everything down. We didn't have to do anything special. Kenny threw a really good plan at them to keep control of the edges. That worked out great, and we played a really disciplined, tough, night of football. It was really fun to watch happen.
Did that air live, that word that he said?
Oh, that, yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
Always compete.
Pete Carroll, one of my favorite things is he'll say, can I say this? And then he'll immediately say the word. He's done that before.
Right. He doesn't even wait. He doesn't wait for the answer. He just goes for it.
Yeah.
But it's true in the sense that this defense, and we didn't think that they were ever going to get there at this point, and for good reason. I mean, it's not like, oh, everybody doubted Pete Carroll and Ken Norton Jr. in this defense. How could you?
Yeah.
There's legitimate reason not to believe that they could put this together. They were on a historically bad pace. But when you play a divisional opponent that you've seen before, you feel like you have a good game plan for and how you can defeat them. I think that's part of it. The other part is guys taking the next step, guys going and approaching the week like true pros. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Mm-hmm. True pros, where you know your job inside and out. You can hold yourself accountable. The guys next to you know that you can do your job and that you know what it's supposed to be. And it sounds like that was a part of the equation here as to why this defense was so out of sync, so disconnected, and you can't have that. So for them to build on that and to finally have a moment where they trust each other, they work together, their plan came together, that's a confidence-building moment. Think about it. Jamal Adams, DJ Reed, Ugo Amadi, you know, all the young new guys that they've had to, you know, put out there because of the uniqueness of the season, they finally had a game where they were able to play together, they were able to work through problems, and they were able to get it done. That should build confidence that, hey, this scheme can work, and let's buy in.
And speaking of defense, staying on that side of the ball, there was a big difference this time around. It was Carlos Dunlap. He ended the game, put it on ice with a sack of Kyler Murray. Here's Pete reacting to that.
Can you guys imagine what that stadium would have done right then? Holy mackerel. It was such a good moment. Great play by Carlos. It's really cool. You can see now, a couple weeks into it, he's got it down. He knows what he's doing. He's feeling great about it, and he's playing hard, and he's a factor. And that's what we've been waiting for. And so that, coupled with a bunch of other good things happening, really gives us a chance to springboard down the stretch of this season.
That was huge to have him in that game. And I think that there was plenty to get right in this game outside of just those two new additions. I mean, you had the weapons to have a win the first time around and you didn't, right? So there was stuff to correct there. But it has been such an impact to have not just Jamal Adams, but Carlos Dunlap out there as well to stir up your pass rush. It's been phenomenal. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We're taking you guys through the plays of the game next. You're going to feel a lot of adrenaline. I'll tell you that right now. That's next.